Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, Text Number 10. Dasyanpara sanna vijitya lampato Vanyanta eke swadita disho dasha Chitatmano yasya samasya dehinam Sado swamoha prabhava kutapare Udasyun plunderers Pura in the beginning Shat Six. Na, not. Vijita, conquering. Lumpataha, stealing all one's possessions. Manyante, consider. Eke, some. Svajitaha, conquered. Disha, 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 dasa, dasha, the 10 directions. Jita Atmanaha, one who has conquered the senses. Gyasya, learned. Samasya, equipoise. Dehinam, to all living entities. Sado, of such a saintly person. Swamoha Prabhavaha, created by one's own illusion. Kutaha, where? Pare, enemies or opposing elements. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. So at least in the purport, in the translation, Prahlad Maharaj is also still calling him a fool. Plunderer, dashun. Actually, where is the word for fool here? Anyhow, Prabhupada's being very bold here. The fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all the enemies in all the 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the 6 enemies and is equipoised toward all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. Purport. In this material world, everyone thinks that he has conquered his enemies, not understanding that his enemies are his uncontrolled mind and 5 senses. Manakshastran Indriyani Prakriti Stani Kashyati. In this material world, everyone has become a servant of the senses. Originally, everyone is a servant of Krishna. But in ignorance, one forgets this, and thus one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Everyone is actually dependent on the reactions of material world laws, but still one thinks himself independent and thinks he has conquered all directions. Conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. So the translation, again. In former times there are many fools like you who did not conquer the 6 enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. I think fool is just implied in what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, those who are Shri Bhagavan Navacha, pragasa se asi atache avashana pragasa stu nan mumoksha se panditaha shri bhagavan avacha shochana vashochastvam pragyam vidam shivasa se katasum zagatasum cha nanu shochati pandita. My dear Arjuna, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living or for the dead. In other words, since Arjuna was lamenting, he was indirectly calling him a fool. Because people are wise, pandits, they don't lament. So if you're lamenting, that means you're not a pandit, you're a pandit. It means you're a fool. So Prahlad Maharaj is implying, people who had knowledge, they thought like that. They don't think that they're enemies. They understand that the real enemies are their uncontrolled mind. But because you think you have enemies, therefore you're a fool. These fools were very proud, thinking, I've conquered all enemies in all 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the 6 enemies, is equipoised toward all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies merely imagined by one in ignorance. So he's telling Harinikashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years old, he's saying that you're a fool, you're in ignorance, because you're imagining so many enemies. Your whole life is simply based upon conquering your enemies, but the real enemies are inside, namely lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. And if you don't conquer them, then it doesn't matter how many other enemies you seem to conquer, that you're simply defeated. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma didindriya pritya aprinoti nisada manye yata atmanoyam asana vikleshida asadeha. If someone is tired, maybe they should just stand up. The boys are doing so much service here that they get a little sleepy. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Nunam, indeed. In other words, Maharaj Rishabhdev is expressing surprise. Pramata. People are crazy. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. They're doing all kinds of activities for happiness, which actually just result in their misery. If you take a hammer, if you have a problem with your finger, say you have your finger hurts, and you take a hammer to hammer it out, the pain out, then you're crazy. The way of getting rid of the pain is not to hammer it out. Now, of course, if you hammer your finger, you probably will forget about your original pain. The other pain will be so great you won't even remember the other one. So that way you got rid of it. Unfortunately, you wound up with a worse situation than when you started. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yadendriya pritya aprinoti. So what is this vikarma? The senses are dictating. They're always dictating. Now, one who has knowledge, he doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little, etc. So that's control, regulation. But the senses will say, oh, come on, you know, why be so repressed? Repression leads to mental problems. So you shouldn't repress your desires. You should just fulfill them. And after a while, then your desires will die down and you won't have to worry about them. So Maya's been telling us that since time immemorial. Just gratify your senses and gradually you won't have to gratify them anymore. And here we are still trying to gratify our senses, and trillions of lifetimes of Brahma have gone by, and it hasn't worked. So that's called madness. When you do the same thing over and over again, you get the same result every time. You think the next time I do it, I'll get a different result. Just like I told the story about Rajneesh. Rajneesh was very proud that he was a great brahmachari, and that he put a newspaper, he put an advertisement in the major papers in India. I'm a I'm a Naishika Brahmachari. No one could possibly get me to fall down. I challenge anyone. So one famous prostitute in Delhi came and said, okay, I promise you. I challenge you. So he spent the night with her, and the next morning he wrote an article, Liberation Through Sex. So he thought he had conquered the senses, but because of his pride, because of his illusion, eventually the senses just, they actually conquered him. He was already conquered by illusion. He just was floating on the mental platform, hoping someone would come and conquer him, his other lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is constantly speaking about how we have to control the mind. So Maharaja Shabdev said, Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma idendriya prita aprinoti. The mind is agitated by the desires of the senses, and therefore the soul, if it identifies itself with the mind and senses, then at a false ego, he thinks that its endeavor, its desires, should be to find some ways to gratify the senses. If he identifies himself with the mind and senses and thinks his happiness will lie in gratifying the senses rather than controlling them, therefore he becomes absorbed in his false ego and his intelligence is utilized for his sense gratification. So this is called Indriya Pritya Aprinoti Nisaramanye Atmanoyam Nisaramanye Yata Atmanoyam. But one who's wise, he realizes that I may try and gratify my senses, but they'll never be gratified. They'll simply demand more and more. So this is called sadhu, one who's wise, who wants to control his mind and senses, either through one of the processes of karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanga yoga, or the best is bhakti yoga. Asanapi klesheda, because as long as we're identified with this body, we have to suffer so many miseries. Of course, we're accustomed to suffering misery, so we've gotten used to it. Matter of fact, unless we're suffering misery, we wonder what's happening, what's going on, something's wrong. I feel something's missing. I'm not in misery anymore. We feel secure facing problems and then solving them gets me busy, keeps me busy, keeps me engaged. Just like the bird in the cage feels secure in the cage. It thinks the cage is protecting it. And the master opens the cage, lets the bird go out, does a little dance. And then out of anxiety, the bird rushes back into the cage and hopes the master will close it so he can be safe again. So he's chosen not to be free. He could fly away easily. But he's so much conditioned by his idea of security that he thinks the cage will protect him. But actually, the body, where he's taking shelter in the body, but durashaya, it's a bad shelter because it gets old, it becomes diseased, and it dies. And we have to suffer when we take another birth. And besides that, we can see the weather is not always so pleasant, even in Slovenia. And people are not always happy and joyful, and they're not always so kind and benevolent and generous. And at the same time, this body is not always perfectly working. Everything we eat doesn't perfectly digest, and whatever we want to do, we can do without any obstacles, any pain or irritation. Our teeth are always perfect. Even if we haven't gone to the dentist in 50 years, they're always bright and shiny, and there's no problem. Every part of our body functions in a natural sequence. No, the body is miserable. The weather is usually not so pleasant. And people are not always so kind and generous. So we come here and we try to squeeze out a little pleasure. The main pleasure is just thinking ourselves to be independent, free to do what we want. I made this choice, so therefore it's a good choice. even though it may wind out to be the worst choice. But still we justify it. We bet on a horse, we lose all our money, but we say, well, at least I had some fun betting on the horse. Whereas when I was visiting my parents in Las Vegas, where they have all this gambling going on, the bus driver is taking me to one place, said to the passengers, welcome to Lost Wages. People go there, they work hard. If someone comes and tries to holds a gun to their head and says, give me your money, they'll protest, they'll call the police. But then they'll go to Las Vegas and just throw the money away. That means that people are pramatak, they're fools. They're suffering, they think it's enjoyment. Working hard and then throwing things away. People buy, especially in America, they buy so many things, and after a few months they get tired of it and they put it outside. Perfectly good things they put outside for the man to come and take them away, put them into the junkyard. So there are people who make their living just by collecting the junk that people are throwing away. Even in New York, you could go to the dumpsters where they throw everything, and you pick out the bottles and sell the bottles, recycle the bottles, and make between $20,000 and $30,000 a year recycling bottles that people are throwing away. So maybe you should send some of the brahmacharis on a collection. Paravasavadavoda jata. So this is called defeat. People don't know they're being defeated by the illusory energy. Maya has the thankless task of keeping us involved under the influence of the material modes of nature, namely the lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. She has the thankless task of offering us these opportunities to suffer in the material world. And we're so foolish that that's what we're doing. We're saying, yes, thank you very much, Maya, you're so kind. Actually, this kind of suffering I don't want today. Can you give me that kind of suffering? Sure, why not? You're a good person. You deserve it. And if you want this kind of suffering, you're worthy of it too. Yeah, sure, give me some of that too. But paravastavadabodha jata, people are defeated by ignorance. Yavana jagnasita atmatatva, because they don't inquire about reality. They don't want to hear about reality. They don't want to hear that they're eternal. They want to work to try and have this body survive. It's exactly like having a puppet in your hands, thinking that the puppet is you, and you become so enamored by the puppet. And people become so enamored by the puppet that when you take your hand out of the puppet and it's on the floor, everyone's thinking that the puppet has died. And they're massaging the puppet, trying to give it artificial respiration. Oh, please, puppet, come back. We love you. You gave us such a good time. But the puppet's not coming back to life because it was never alive in the first place. Therefore, you may take it to puppet graveyard and say nice things about the puppet, but it's all just a waste of time. You're just lamenting over something which is unreal. So similarly, anyone who's absorbed in this material energy is being defeated by the illusory energy, and especially as long as they don't inquire about the absolute truth. And by our activities, yavana jagnasita atmatatvam, yavantavadidam manovai, and by our activities, our consciousness is being covered, so we can't see reality. We can't experience reality. We experience exactly what we want. We get our dreams fulfilled in material energy, or our nightmares, depending on how you look at it. And we think it's all real. We think what we're experiencing is all real. It's all just, what I'm doing is justified, because I got exactly what I thought I was going to get. Krishna gives us exactly what we think we're going to get, exactly what we deserve. Kamatmana yena sharira bandhana. I mean, we just get one body after another. Perfectly thinking we're on our way to hell. We think I'm doing I have the best seat on the plane. They gave me a jet in Kali Yuga to go to hell. But fortunately, I got a good seat. I'm flying business class on my way to hell. And therefore, I'm going the right direction. If I was going to heaven, I would have gotten an economy class. But now that I'm going to hell, they gave me business class. So, it's a good idea. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj concludes that, in a different verse, Naishamati stavaduru kramangrim sprisha inartari bhagavam inartha mahir samparu devi shekam is kinshananam na navrita yadva. One should try to find someone who's not absorbed in this lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy, and try to follow their footsteps, their instructions, so that one can achieve that result. The idea of accepting initiation as spiritual master is not a formality. It's simply to help us in the process of getting free from lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. And if one performs devotional service or accepts either Shiksha Gurus or Diksha Gurus, whatever we accept, leaders, and we don't get free from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, then we're just wasting our time. It's called Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Of course, by the process of becoming conscious of Krishna, these things should go away. But if we don't give them up, then we won't become conscious of Krishna. Seems like catch 22, they call it. In order to become conscious of Krishna, we have to give these things up. But if we become conscious of Krishna, then these things will go away. So which comes first? Becoming conscious of Krishna or giving them up? Well, obviously, we have to give them up. We have to make a conscious decision to take shelter of Krishna. But we won't do that until we make a conscious decision of giving up the things we're material attachments that are putting us into lust, anger, greed. We have to choose one or the other. But if we choose to perform devotional service in Krishna consciousness, that means we've given up the other thing. As much as we actually are sincerely trying to perform unalloyed, pure devotional service, that means we've given up lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. And as much as we're performing devotional service and still maintaining attachments to lust, anger, illusion, madness, enviousness, then we haven't given up. We're not really in pure devotional service yet. We're simply trying to practice so that one day we can come to the platform of pure devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj is trying to encourage his father to give up his crazy ideas, change his vision, change his mentality, change his attitude by good instructions. But I don't think Hiranyakashipu is going to go for it. But anyway, we'll see. Who knows? Pure devotee is very powerful, so we'll find out. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? So what was the... can you give us a one-sentence summary of the class, Gadadhar Pandit? Can you give a two-sentence summary? Okay, back to Marco.
But I have a question.
Okay. Now I know how to get questions. Ask questions and get questions in return.
many times I heard devotees say that we should just add Krishna to things we are attached, or and then gradually they will go away. But obviously, you just said in the end that some things we should just give up. We cannot,
Yeah. Prabhupada said something like that sometimes. He said, if you're an alcoholic and you drink wine, you think the taste of the wine is Krishna, then if you keep on drinking wine after some millions of years, you might become conscious of Krishna. So yeah, add Krishna. But Kansa also added Krishna to his life. It didn't make him fully conscious. He never came to the platform of devotional service, although he was Krishna conscious. So it's not, no, we're not just trying to add Krishna. We're trying to add Krishna plus devotional service to our lives. In other words, Krishna plus devotion. Not just add Krishna. So that when I'm drinking my wine, I thank you, Krishna. You're so kind. Can you send me some beer also? It's like trying to light a fire and pouring water on it at the same time.
What about, let's say, when anger comes, when you feel that anger is coming, so you cannot just stop it. I cannot just stop it, you know, just quiet.
Well, the general yells at the colonel. The colonel yells at the major. The major yells at the captain. The captain yells at the lieutenant. The lieutenant yells at the sergeant. The sergeant yells at the corporal. The corporal yells at the private. The private goes and kicks the dog. No, we should think of Krishna, because it's anger, lust, all these things are just on the mental platform. So we had Krishna, even if we can't stop it completely, but at least we've made an effort in the right direction. And then Krishna may give us some, may help us. By practice, we may gradually learn how to concentrate more on Krishna by practice and not be so much disturbed by the anger that's arising on the mental platform. Then we spent practice concentrating on Krishna, then gradually the anger will go away. But we're not adding Krishna to our anger. Because Prabhupada also said, if you're angry, then you should remember Lord Narsingadev ripping apart Hiranyakashipu. And if you can go out and find Hiranyakashipu, you can try and rip him apart too. But we have very specific places to put our anger. We can put our anger if someone is attacking a devotee of Krishna. But other than that, there's not so much. If you're on a kshatriya and you're on the battlefield and Krishna tells you to fight, then you can use your anger in that way too. Anything else? So we still haven't gotten a 1 minute summary. Ananda, give us a 1 minute summary of the class. What you've understood. Okay, give him the...
Sanskrit education is a madness.
Anything else?
We should not follow the Rajneesh.
Oh. Well, that's good. I'm glad you understood that one. What about how can we control our mind and senses? Who's our enemies?
Six enemies. Uncontrolled mind.
Yes.
Uncontrolled mind.
And except for them, who's the enemy?
Beside that?
Yeah.
Mind and senses. And six enemies.
But besides those six enemies, who's our enemies?
No one.
No one.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Grandarashima Bhagavatam Kidash.